Well, thank you all for coming today. So good to be in the house of the Lord. We say that every week, but you know what? It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? And we have a lot of fun things planned for today, so we're shortening everything up so that we can get it all in. It's an amazing building to be in, but we have a time frame, so you go with what you got. Amen? And so for tithes and offerings for you today, at our church, we don't just give randomly. We give because we've been taught and trained to give based on his word. And so today, that's where we're just going to carry on with what we've been doing. And I was going to change because it's Steve's birthday and do something special. The Lord said, no, he always brings me his best. So keep going. And I was like, okay. So we've been talking about always bring your best. In Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it talks about when they would bring in their offerings, that they couldn't have blemish on it. They couldn't have defects. They had to bring in the best of their flocks, the best of their herds to the Lord as their sacrifice. And if the Lord asked that of them then, he's still asking that of us today. And in Proverbs 3:9, it says that bring your first fruits. And we've studied a long time ago that first fruits, in this case, was they would gather in the first of the harvest, and they would bring that harvest in first before they would harvest the rest and before they would eat anything else. It was that important to them to give their best to the Lord first. And so today, always bring your best. And I love this story in Exodus. Going to shorten up really quick for you. The Israelites are getting ready to build the tabernacle, and the Lord asked them to bring a goodwill offering. That means an offering of their choice. It wasn't something that was demanded. He just said, this is our need, so bring it in. And so the people began to bring in the different things. And it was amazing because I love this. I'm waiting for this day at our church. Moses goes to talk to the leaders that are in charge of building everything. How's it going? What's going on? And this is what their answer to him. Not we need more. Not we need more workers. Not we need more of this. Not we need more of that. They said, listen, these people are coming every day and bringing their offerings. Please tell them to stop. We have enough. Hallelujah. Every pastor in America says, praise the Lord on that one, right? I mean, we're looking for the day when we have to tell you, listen, you guys, stop bringing so much offering. We can't build things enough. We can't give it away fast enough, right? But these people brought their best. Morning, you guys. Sorry, I had to say quick hi. The Lord asked them to bring, and they brought their best. How awesome is that? This is an example. When you bring your offering, your tithes and offering to the Lord, don't come like this. Oh, man. It's tithes and offering time again. I guess I'll give it to him. We've talked about it before. What dad would be happy if his kid came up and said, well, gee, Dad, you've done so much for me. Here's a card Mom made me give you. That would be terrible, right? As a dad, you'd be like, ow, did you even care about what I gave you? Right? And the Lord has blessed us with every good thing. So when we bring our tithes and offerings in this church, we get excited and we get happy to give to the Lord. Amen? So for those of you who go here, if you want to get your tithes and offerings ready, we're going to go ahead and say a prayer. And we do have tithing nets because we're getting close to being all the way COVID-free, but a tithing basket would hit everyone's hands. So we use nets just to make it less, you know, well, there they are. Look just like that. So we have tithing nets. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day today to celebrate Steve and just to celebrate the amazing work that you have done in his life. And I just pray, Father, for every person that gives today, Father, that you would bless their gift, Father, multiply it back to them. And we just thank you, Father, that your word says that your desire is to give exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or hope or think or even imagine. And we just praise you for that today. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just call in that harvest today that we'll be blessed to be a blessing, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you for all you've done. Help us to always bring our best to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Go ahead, boys. So we have a lot of fun things. It's going to be kind of a zoom-packed morning for you this morning. But I wanted to say, without getting too emotional, how much I love you. What is it? Are you going to give me a 20? I know. I know that when I met Steve, it was a time in my life where we were later in life bloomers, and so we didn't meet each other until way later in life, in our late 20s, and really thought the Lord kind of forgot me. You know, I'd faithfully served him and walked in for an audition at a church event, and actually was auditioning for a bigger part than I realized I was going to get. Pastor Steve was the one who was doing the auditions, and so I didn't get the part, but I got the other part, his wife part. So thank you. I'll never forget what my brother said when he met Steve. He said, if there would be a guy Shelley, it would be Steve. He's like, has all the same values and purposes and heart for God as you do. He's like, I didn't think there would be a guy out there, but there was. And so I'm just so grateful the Lord brought you into my life. Love you. And then we have one more group that's going to come up and say something really quick.
We all decided to pick one memory. Mine was, I think I was in second grade. I won tickets to the Blazers game from school, and you took me. Dad, don't cry. you took me to the Blazers game, and that was always, like, the coolest memory for me. I'll just keep going.
I'm just not going to look at him because I'll cry. My favorite memory is, well, I have a lot of favorite memories, but one of my favorites was when you took me to basketball practice, like, in the morning, and it was, like, pitch black. It was like, what, like 6:30 in the morning? And we would drive up, and then 5:30, that's what it was. Oh my word. Okay, so we drove up, and then remember the Michael W. Smith music? It was like really like intense, like do 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 do, and my coach would walk out like across, like every day, same time. My dad would play that song. We would laugh so hard because he'd just like walk out like this, and then we'd play the music. So I thought that was really funny. And driving home from games, like when we go to like get food and stuff. So thank you, Dad.
All right. My favorite memory is kind of a scary one, but we were a couple years back, we were airsofting, and we were in this thing they called the kill house, and it was all dark, and it was me and Eli, my cousin, and my dad had dressed up like the bottomless snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and he was just, you could hear him walking around back there and making noise, and all of a sudden I see this big furry thing go running across, and I sent Eli ahead of me, and he's got lit up. It was awesome. And then I was like, oh, and he went running back, screaming, and so I went up, and I thought I knew where he was at, and I peeked around the corner to shoot him, and he wasn't there, and he shot me from behind. I don't know how he did it, but it was my funniest, scariest memory ever.
So my memory was, we have to have a Disneyland memory because that's just a thing you do. So I went to this Bugs Life thing with my family, and they give you these weird looking, here I'm going to show you. They give you these things, and they say, here you go, put these on. So I get out in this weird place, and it's like a theater of some sort. And I think I'm going to watch a movie, like I'll get to watch a Bugs Life. Next thing I know, there's a bug the size of a car flying at me. So I'm like, and my dad somehow saw it, and he saved my life because he was like, you want to go do bumper cars? I'm like, yes, Daddy, yes, Daddy. So, yeah, that's my memory.
And we have one more thing for you. Okay, ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Arno. Happy birthday to you.
Signed, Dean Higgins from Medfield College. That's it.
Oh, that's a behind the scenes joke for those of you who didn't get it. It was an old movie. So we have very little time, so if someone wants to turn the lights up just a tiny bit over there. I wanted to do something special because our thing is you can't come to church and not have the word. Amen? So we'll just do a really quick version of this. You have your papers, so I encourage you, go home and study them. It's a great lesson. But my husband loves baseball a lot. And so one of the things that I wanted to do today was to give you biblical lessons from baseball. Amen? So every time you watch a baseball game from now on, it's going to be a totally different experience for you because you're going to think about these things. I was thinking all the different things that make Steve who he is and what I appreciate about him and just what makes him Steve. And there were three that really stuck out to me, and that's what we're going to base these on. And the first one is practice makes ready. Practice does not always make perfect. You can ask my piano teacher at 11. Didn't matter how much I practice, I was never perfect. But I've learned practice makes you ready. And that's when you're playing a sport like baseball, they do drills and they practice over and over and over until your muscles literally do what they're supposed to do without you even thinking about it. There's times where I'm playing the piano and I look down and I could not tell you what my fingers are playing. It's like, it's weird. But I've practiced so much that my fingers just know what they're supposed to do, right? And one thing I love about my husband is that he is always in the Word of God. Always in the Word of God. I love what it says in Proverbs. I'm just going to read one. Proverbs 20 and 21. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. We have to practice so that we're ready when life hits us with stuff, right? Because how many people know things still happen if you're a Christian or not a Christian, right? But it's how we handle that when it comes. He is always in the Word. First thing in the morning, you come out, he's sitting at the table. We're kind of the opposite. I like to do mine at night, but he does his in the morning first thing. So you come out, he's always in the Word. He's always memorizing. He's always studying. Why is that important? So when life hits you with something, you can smack it right back. Forget the slapping on the face. Get your fist out, right? Get your gloves on with the Word and knock it out of the park. We don't have to take stuff. And so many times he'll come to me. There's different things that we've gone through in seasons of life. And as couples, like one of you will be down and the other one's up. Or, you know, one of you's facing something that doesn't look greatest. And the other one's like, no, take a look at it from this angle. And I love that about him. Whenever we're in something and I'm going through something, all I have to do is talk to him. And he's like, what does the Word say? What's a verse? What are we standing on? What promise are we believing? That's because he makes it first importance of his life. He practices so when the time comes, he's ready. Amen? The next thing is stay on the base path. Now, I could have sworn that the base path was really something that existed. I can remember in playing baseball and softball and the coaches telling me that. But when I looked it up in an umpire regulation book, you know what it said? There is no such thing as a base path. It doesn't exist. Unless someone is coming in opposition against you, and then it's 3 feet to either side. I was like, what? What is that? We all thought we knew there was a base path. You run to first, you run to second. I mean, you don't see somebody run into first and cut through and go to second across the mound, right? No, there's like a path that we just think we're supposed to follow. And that's the way it is sometimes as Christians. We just think that these things are supposed to be in our lives because we thought that they were supposed to be, right? But I love this about Steve. Every day he lives his life of, Lord, what do you want me to do today? So often we can get concerned with the big picture and, well, what if I'm not in the will of God? What if I'm not doing what he's called me to do? Well, are you getting up every day and asking him, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to do today? Because if you are, you're going to take the straightest path from home plate to first, from first to second, from second to third, from third to home, and you're not going to have to worry about getting off the path, right? Because every day you've lived for the Lord like you were supposed to live that day. Amen? And I love that about Steve. In Psalm 25:4, it says, show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That's why you have to be in the Word of God. It's because if you're not in the Word, you're not going to know what he says for your life. And then you are going to get lost. You are going to end up wandering farther away. But don't you love it that God's a great umpire? And he'll blow the whistle and say, hey, get back over here. Get back on the track, right? He'll show us what to do. But if we just live every day getting up in the morning and saying, God, what is it today that I'm supposed to be doing? And then do what he asks you to do today, you're not going to get lost. You're going to stay on the path. So he's always in the Word. He's always checking in with God, always saying, Lord, am I going the right direction? Am I doing the right thing? Am I staying on track? And the last thing is finish strong. Every coach will tell you it's not how you start the game, it's how you finish the game, right? You can start out super strong. I've seen, unfortunately, some of our Washougal teams that'll just crush it in the first three innings. And then it's like they all leave. And you're like, whoa, you lost the game and you started ahead. How did that happen, right? Because we have to finish just like we start. We have to finish strong. And the verse I love for this one is Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I'll read 2 Chronicles as well. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. In these days, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and to just want to quit. Now, Steve and I will be the first to tell you, we are not perfect. We do not do everything right. We just try to be willing and obedient to what the Lord has called us to do. But there are times that even in our lives that we feel like, wow, do we just keep going? Do we keep going or do we just quit? What do? Right? But if we don't become weary in well-doing, that means when you're doing something that you feel like the Lord has called you to do, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it appears to be to everyone else, you keep on keeping on. Why? Because at some point, you're going to break through, right? And before you know it, people around are going to go, whoa, they didn't give up. They kept going, and look what happened in their lives. That also means that if you're struggling with something maybe in your life, and you've been praying and asking the Lord to help you to break through and to keep praying, and you keep praying, you don't give up. Whether it's your health or maybe it's something you're fighting personally, you don't give up. You know why? Because who wants to give up and then find out later on you were right there on the edge? If you'd have just hung on a little bit more, you would have made it. I don't want that to be us. I don't want that to be any of us in this room. I want us to stay strong. I want us to finish this game of life and the Lord say, well done, well done. That he has a promise and a purpose for our lives. And if we'll just keep on keeping on and being faithful, then there will be a reward and we will finish strong. Amen? And like I said, these are just three things that I could think of Steve's life. He's always in the Word. Every day, he's living for the Lord. He's asking the Lord, is this what I'm supposed to do today? And this man never gives up. He never gives up, ever. I've never seen him give up. And today, I just encourage you, whatever you're going through in your life, stay in the Word. Make sure you're practicing. Even if you're not going, you're like, well, Shelly, nothing's going on in my life. That's a great time to get your Bible out and be reading and memorizing scriptures so that you're ready, right? In this game of life, your coach is saying you've got drills to do. So do your drills. Read your Bible every day. Spend time praying. Go to church. So when something happens, you don't have to go, oh, no. The devil's going to go, oh, no. Because you're going to pull your fist back of faith and say, what? I don't think so. Boom! With the Word of God. And stay on the base path, even though it doesn't really exist unless you try to get off of it. Stay on the path that God has for you. Ask him every day, Lord, am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Because you know what? He may have an amazing plan for you, but you're so focused and so driven on this one thing that you're not listening for what he's got for you. Don't do that. Be listening, okay? And then finally, finish strong and never give up. Never give up. Those are biblical lives from baseball. So the next time you watch a baseball game, these things are going to pop in your head. All of a sudden, you're going to be starting to think about the Bible, and you'll be like, why am I thinking about the Bible and it's baseball? Oh, Shelly, it's all her fault. So let's just go ahead and pray as we end this time of word. Father, I just thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness. Even though today wasn't a sit-down dinner, it was more of a drive-through fast food today for the Word, Lord, we just thank you that it's still powerful and effective. And God, I just pray that your Word would go into our hearts and our minds, Father, and that you would just cement it into us, Father, that we need to stay in your Word all the time, Father, that we need to always be checking in with you, making sure we're going the right direction, and that we'll finish strong. We won't give up. Father, I just pray if anyone is dealing with anything in their lives today, then any of these categories, you just encourage them, Father. We're the cheerleaders today saying, don't give up, keep going, read your Word, practice, stay connected with God. Lord, because you have a plan, and it is a plan that is good and not for evil, with a hope and a future. And today we praise you for that, for every person in here, but especially for Steve, Lord. We just thank you for blessing him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The last thing I did want to do, even though I prayed for you for a little bit, can you come up and we're going to pray for you? And then I would like all of the men, if you would come up and, why don't you just stand right out here? Come up and get around Steve. Don't be shy. Come on up, guys. And we're just going to pray over him today. Let me get there. So if you guys just want to lay your hands on him and we're just going to bless the next 50 years. Amen? Woohoo! So, Father, we just thank you today for anointing Steve. Father, we just thank you for blessing him. We thank you, Father, for the example that he has been, Father, the life that he has lived out in front of people. We praise you, Lord, today for, first of all, touching his health, God. I pray for long life, Father, and blessing for him to lack no good thing. We just thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against his health is going to prosper, that he is going to run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. We just thank you, Father, for the things you've called us to do in these next 50 years, Lord, that he is going to be equipped and sound physically, that he is not going to lack anything, but he's going to be able to accomplish all you've set before him. We thank you, Father, for giving him wisdom, Father, as he leads our church, Lord, as he leads our family. And we thank you, Father, for wisdom. Whether he turns to the right or the left, you'll be the voice behind him saying, "This is the way, Steve, walk in it." I thank you, Father, for supernatural wisdom for the days and months and weeks to come, Father, that he's going to have wisdom to lead us and guide us as a church and to show him the things that we need to do, Father, for supernatural wisdom, even beyond what he thinks he knows. God, you're going to bless him with knowledge, Father, in those areas that he needs to know things. And we just praise you, Father, for just blessing his life, Father. I just thank you for the last 50 years and the anointing that you've had upon him. But Father, I just agree with Aunt Sue and with the word you gave him that the next 50 are going to be even greater, Father, in Jesus' name. And we just praise you, Lord, for his life and for who he is, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Woo! Amen. Amen. Well, honey, I've done a lot of talking. Did you want to say anything real quick?
Praise the Lord. Wow, I'm just blessed. Amen. Thank you for the prayer. Just as we close, and just I just know that, just even in our own family, we've had, several people go to heaven recently. Just in the past few years, most recently, my Aunt Anne, and I know everybody in this room has dealt with that to some degree, whether a couple years ago, months ago, whatever, in recent memory, right? I know, and even people I saw in our video, life is not easy, is it? Amen? But the one thing that we need to do, Jesus told us this. One thing is needful, and that's come to Jesus. Amen. Because sometimes life does hurt, right? But with him, there is always hope. Some things are just tough to walk through. But with him with us, we're going to make it. we are making it. It's a lot better to walk through life with him than without him, because he is life. And I'll tell you what, this is marvelous, seeing all of you here today, and the videos were just such a blessing. But there's a great reunion coming. There's a great reunion coming, and we do not want to miss it. Amen. So let's just have a prayer right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, that he is our hope, he is our victory, he is eternal life. We thank you that all of our loved ones, God, Lord, we just ask you to give them a hug for us today. All of our loved ones, God, that have passed on ahead of us, whether it's the past year or the past 50 years or more, we ask you, Lord, to give them a hug from us and let them know that we will see them soon. Because we choose today to make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. As we celebrate, Lord, today, we celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus, and that we're going to live the rest of our life, beginning with today, for you. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. This is marvelous. I'm ready for donuts.
But wait, we have to do one thing. We have to sing to you. Are you guys ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.